All right. Thank you for being here tonight. And we are looking forward to Friend Day. And really, around here, whenever we have a day like that, we never ever set attendance goals. Okay. Same reason when we have like a banquet, I don't want to set a giving goal, because what happens, you have a banquet, you give a giving goal, and everybody sacrifices and you don't reach it. Everybody leaves like, we didn't hit our goal. It's like, you sacrificed and you gave, so that's successful. And so we don't produce the results. The Lord produces the results. He wants us to sow the seed. And so I'm very, very grateful, looking at all the contracts. And we have a little over a week left. And really, the last week, we always get a lot more invites than the other times of this. And so keep inviting people. I know the Filipino class is on fire now. Every day I keep getting texts. I got this friend signed up, that friend signed up, and other classes you are as well. And I'm just looking forward to what God will do on that day. And all we can do is invite and pray and see what God will do on that day. But we're really excited about that. And I am excited about the building. We're using it completely for the first time. And there's some reasons why. But we're using the whole building. Just pray about one thing, and the last inspector brought it up, and in a sense, I'm glad he did. He before he stamped off, he said he doesn't like the sidewalk out here on 33rd, and neither do I. It's a disaster, and it's not our responsibility. The city came through, and they already fixed the sidewalk here. And so he just said, I want you to call the city before I'll stamp. And so we did, and they said they're putting in a work order. But it's bad, and not just our church. We really don't use 33rd a lot, entrance and exit. We'll use it a little bit more now that we're using the building. But it's just not good for our neighbors. We have all the retirement homes. They like to walk. And plus, it just looks horrible, okay? Yeah. And so just pray that the city would put that on their list of projects and come and make that a lot safer out there, and it'll look a lot nicer as well. And, and we're really excited about what's going on here. We've been in our series on, we've been in our series in Proverbs for quite a while now, and it's not Proverbs completely, it's just a certain subject in Proverbs. We've been talking about avoidance. What does Proverbs talk about when it comes to things that we should avoid in our life? And on Wednesday, on Thursday nights, it's not like on Sunday where there's just a message, there's a beginning, a middle, an ending. On Thursday nights, it's just a series. I start where I left off, and wherever I'm done at a little after 8, we're out of here, and we'll pick it up next time. And so we've been talking about that. You know the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take God's truth and apply it to our lives. We know that. It has nothing to do with your IQ. I'm very, very grateful for that, by the way. It just has everything to do is, can we take God's truth, which is way higher than our understanding or what we would understand or know, and can we make it a part of our life? So we're looking at that. We've went through several categories already. We'll finish up this one and maybe start the next point tonight. We've been talking about number 9, sloppy parenting. That sounds a little bit rough there, but all the words were starting with S. But a lot of times in our parenting, it is true. We're just very sloppy in what we're doing. Did we pass out do we have handouts? Who doesn't have a handout? The guys in the front do. Some do. Okay, just walk through. They're special. Okay, guys, I didn't say that. He said it. So we'll walk through. If you didn't get one, it's coming your way. But really, our parents and we are sloppy. There's not one person, unless they are a total train wreck in their life, but nobody in here would say, you know, my children aren't important to me. My family is not important to me. We all put a high price in our family. Yeah. But the problem is, do we, in actuality and in action, put the same effort into our family that we say that they are important to us, that same level of effort? One of the greatest problems, I think this is in your notes, one of the greatest problems we have in our society is the destruction of the family. That's probably, by the way, that we look at our country and we understand, and I'm not harping, our country is on a downward trajectory, morally in every single way, every single important parameter, our country is dropping exponentially, and it's been worse, particularly the last 20 years, but particularly the last 4 years in certain areas. But the foundation of that is because the family has been destroyed. And when the family is not doing well, people aren't going to do well, and that's just going to affect every area of our society. But when the family is destroyed, the ones who suffer the most are the children. Okay? And we need to make sure that we're doing everything we can as parents. Do everything we can to put them in a place where they can be spiritually successful. That's what we want. Unfortunately, I know far too many people, they would trade the spiritual aspect if their child were socially acceptable, successful, financially successful. But we see it a different way. We understand from the Bible that the Bible talks much about the next generation. And the next generation is vitally important. And the whole Bible, back before the Bible was written, he told Israel, you do this and this and this because we want to get the truth to the next generation, to your children, so they can take it to their children. And so it's very important that procedure starts with the family. We've looked at a lot of different points, and they're maybe listed in your notes, but we're looking at the procedure that must be followed, and we are looking at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. We gave a little introduction to that last time. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So here are the procedures. We started on this, and we'll just go forward. First of all, this means that if we follow this verse and we understand it, that means that there must be a plan. Train. Train is a purposeful action, okay? If you get hired somewhere and they have staff training, okay? They're going to train. What are they doing? They have procedures and things. They're going to teach you. There's a plan of action that they're going to get to you that you are to follow to be successful as an employee. What we need to understand is that as parents, it's our responsibility to train our children. You say, well, I take my children to church and they get some training there. You're right. They'll get spiritual training. But that spiritual training, if that's going to be a part of their life, that's got to happen in the home. Yeah. It's got to be backed up by the parents. Well, I send my child to the Christian school. And hey, if their children are in the Christian school, we're going to back you up. Okay? If you want your kids to be spiritual, your children to be spiritual, you know that we have rules and things that they have to follow, and we're just backing you up. But the fact of the matter is, you can send your child to our school, you can have your child in church, but that's just two parts of it. We're a supplement to the home. Now, I understand that sometimes you have children and their home situation is not best, okay? God's ideal is mom and dad together in the home raising the children. That's God's ideal. And by the way, when that happens in a society, society does better. And I'm not going to go over all the statistics. I think I mentioned some of them a couple weeks ago. But that's God's ideal. But you can still make it if you don't have that. I was not raised in that ideal. I was raised single parent, my mom, and she did the best job that she could. But for the most part, that's God's grace. We can do it. But all things being equal, children need the parents to be the key. And so we need to have a plan for training them. Something that we're thinking about. Something that has parameters. Something that has principles. And you have to enforce them. Okay? It has to be enforced. If you have the right kind of family, it must be intentional. It must be intentional. Nothing good happens on accident.
Right.
It just doesn't. There's got to be a dad in the house. There's got to be a mom if you're just a single parent, but there has to be someone in the house that says, this is what I want for my children, and this is how we're going to get there, and this is what we're going to do in our family, and this is what we're going to promote, and this spirituality we're going to look at, and this is what we're going to do. It's got to come from the parents. And so, you say, well, Pastor, what about my life? You had children. That is your life. You got married. That is your life. Okay? It's called growing up. Fact of the matter is, most don't want to grow up. It's like, it's me, me, me. And I'll fit my spouse in when I can, and I'll fit my children in when I can. That's not good. And by the way, your fulfillment, since you asked in your mind, your fulfillment in life is going to come from your family.
Right.
Now, what about the Lord? The Lord's everything. I understand that. And taking it aside, the Lord, we have that set in place. The thing that really ought to be the most important is your marriage and then your family. As I said. And that brings fulfillment in your life. The problem with us is we spend too much time looking at Instagram, or you want to TikTok, Snapchat, or whatever it is now, whatever the newest one is, and you think that's the life to live. That's a life of emptiness. You know how I know it's emptiness? Because it's all they're trying to get validation with all the nonsense that they're putting on there. Like me, look what I'm doing. That's just a picture. What about the rest of your life? I find pleasure and joy in being with my wife. I find pleasure and joy in being with my children. Well, no, not my children anymore. They're all grown. They're grandchildren. Much better than children. Okay? But that's where that comes from. I have other things. Yes, I get it. And I have great enjoyment in God's family. But there has to be a plan. It has to be intentional. Next, and this is new, we didn't look at this, so there's a plan, then there needs to be perfection. And I'll explain what that means. You train up. You're training a child up. What do I mean by that? They, when they're born, they are babies that cannot do anything. Our goal is to help them from the time they're born until they're out of our house to help them get to maturity. To raise them up. Those newborns, we have several going to give birth probably before the end of this month. Some maybe a little. And you got that little helpless individual there. It can do nothing except cry, eat, sleep, and the other thing. Okay? That's all they can do. And it's your job as a parent to say, I am all in on this little child to help them to get to their adulthood and maturity.
Yeah.
Maturity. That's our goal. You don't let them do what they want. And so that's what the Bible word perfect means. When you see the word perfect, it doesn't mean you don't do anything wrong. It means you are maturing. You are acting now like an adult. By the way, Brother Vong's back for a couple days. Sorry, back there. I forgot to mention it. And a quick hitter here. Good. Make sure you go by and say hi. But you say, well, you don't understand how my child acts. Been there, right? What does the Bible say? You ready? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child.
Yep.
I can't believe what my kid did. I can. Because they're children. But the rod of correction shall drive it from them. It's our goal. Look, children say and do goofy things. It is our goal to train them up so that they understand that those things are foolish and goofy. And to help them. But what happens is if we just let it go, it is instilled in them and it becomes a character quality and a character trait, and they take that into their adult years. And so we want to help them be mature. That is our goal, to help them. The goal is to mature them in all areas, but especially in dedication to the Lord. Yeah, you need to make sure that, you know, they do chores and they learn how to work and they're diligent in school and they're faithful to the things they're supposed to do. And by the way, parents, don't let them get away with that stuff. And by the way, let me just say, one of the things that's good, your child doesn't do good at school and you want to blame the teacher. And you let the children know you're blaming the teacher. Now, I always thought this. There's 20 kids in that class, and 19 of them are doing really good. It could just be your kid struggles in some areas, and that doesn't make them bad. Maybe they need a little extra help. Maybe you need to talk to the teacher. What can we do to help my child? Nothing wrong with that. But what we do is the child just says something, and we automatically believe it. Do you know... Children, believe it or not, lie.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that? That's part of that foolishness that's bound up in the heart of a child, right? You teach them. One of our children, I won't say who it was. I said that one time. I accidentally said their name later on. It was one of the boys or girls. And we went to one of their cousin's house, and then when we came back, I noticed they had a toy that I didn't buy them. I'm like, whose toy is that? They took it from their cousin. So I said, come here. And I'm like, you're going to talk to your aunt and tell her what you did right now. I started crying. I called my sister. Kathy, this unnamed person wants to talk to you. I almost said it. You want a hint? I mean, she does play the church piano. I sure hope they're not in town. I hope she's not watching that. Strike that from the record. Allison used to play the piano too, so anyhow. And I made her get on the phone, and she was crying and telling her aunt how she had stole it. So, you know, I wanted her to understand, you have to fess up when you do something wrong. Okay? We don't just and you'll have opportunities like that. And sometimes, well, you know, come on, the kid has extra toys over there. That's not how it works. Do you know you're teaching your children, if you have that mentality, you're teaching your children that life just gives you everything, and if not, take it. That's not life. That's ignorance. Okay? And you're gonna raise a child that sits in the basement until they're 40 years old playing video games, waiting for mom and dad to die so they can take the house. Yeah. I'm spending everything before I die. Just kidding. Actually, California, we don't have basements, so you can't. Okay, it's just, what are we doing here? Where's the responsibility? But our goal is to help them to mature. And by the way, it's easy to get frustrated with them. Are you with me? It's like, this kid's not getting it. Just remember the verse. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. They're getting it. It's just that some kids, it takes more time. I say it. A kid with high energy that struggles doesn't bother me. They're, like I said, they're probably going to be the best missionary in the history of the world or a serial killer. I'm kidding about that. But you know what? If you can help them mature, they'll take that energy and they'll do something good with it. So don't let the frustrations get to you. It's worth it. But you got to train them up. And then next, there's a process. When does a process begin? Train up a child. The process has to begin immediately. This maturity starts when they are a child. That's the process. We don't wait. Here's the problem, though, with us, a lot of us. The younger they are, the more we let them get away with. You know why? Hey, why'd you do that? And, you know, a little two-year-old girl, boy, they give you that little cute look, and it's like, oh, come on, they're cute. How can you discipline that? It's like, okay, just do better next time. And you let them get away with this stuff. And then what happens is, now, when they're older, and you realize that those type of things are going to cause a lot more problem in their life, now you want to put the clamps on, right? It's like the old illustration they give of the funnel. You know, a funnel is wider open at the top, and then it's more restrictive at the bottom. How many know what I'm talking about, right? So which way do you have the funnel? You know how you have the funnel? You keep the kids in line and teach them when they're younger. And if you do a good job of that, do you know as they get older, there's less discipline? And it's like, as our kids got older, it's like the stuff over here that as children, it's like, you know, the older they get, the less discipline they need here. They still need it, don't get me wrong. But it's not, what happens is their whole life we let them do whatever they want, and now they're a teenager and we're afraid and we're going to clamp down. And by the way, you have to clamp down. You have to, and it's not clamping down, it's giving boundaries. But all of a sudden, the child's thinking, wait a minute, when I was young, I didn't have any boundaries, and now you're going to give me boundaries? That's why a new family, if they come into our church, they have a teenager, they have a phone, and they start hearing, like, teenagers shouldn't have phones. You have to take it from them. It's going to be World War III. By the way, that never goes over, ever. But I'm not the only one that says that, by the way. You know, a lot of these tech gurus, they don't want their kids having that nonsense. They know what's there. They're not ready. We just started early. You know, 18. Graduate high school, you get a phone. 18, you get a driver's license. Okay? But start early with the children. Amen. Teach them when they're young, and you know what happens? It becomes a part of their life. And now you don't have to funnel them. You just have to broaden the parameters. Like, okay, now you're getting as a junior higher, and you're going to face some things that you didn't face as a young person. And so we need to have some boundaries in place. We need to be careful. And here's the areas where you need to be careful now. But you know what? They're used to just learning and listening and wanting to do the right thing and obeying. And so as they get older, it's like, I get it. Now we're just applying it in different areas. Okay, so the goal is don't fall for that little pretty drooling face, okay? That little cute smile and the little cute hat they wear that's hiding the horns, okay? You know, teach them now. Process, they're a child. Next, there's a path. Train up in the child, a child in the way. That means there is a specific way. Not in the ways, okay? So there is a specific way to train children. By the way, where do we find that way? You find it in Scripture, okay? Quit listening to everybody else. You know, well, my cousin or my uncle or my aunt said they did this with their children and it really worked, okay? First of all, you're not probably getting the whole story, but second, is it scriptural? If it's scriptural, that's a good idea. Let's go with it. But there's a specific way, and that way is God's way. I'm not going to listen to anything secularists say or politicians say about raising children. I'm not going to let the school raise my child. Yep. By the way, the government school thinks they're in charge of your child. Sorry, they do. And they don't have to tell you anything, and thanks to our governor, that's law. Better be careful who you vote for.
Yep. Amen.
But that they don't know the way. These are the same people telling a five-year-old they should transition when the same kid will tell you they think they're a dump truck. I've had the kids tell, I want to be an ambulance. When I grow up, Josiah told me he was younger, he wanted to be a fire truck. It was like 2 years ago. Kids don't know what they're saying. So he needs to transition. You need to paint him red and white, and you need to put a light on his head. Now, we laugh at that, but they're doing that to our children to this day. Hollywood actors and actresses, they got their little children, 3, 4, 5. Well, he said he thinks he's a girl, so I'm dressing him as a girl. And they're the experts. And society, yay, good job. And we're going to listen to them on how to raise children. I'm going to listen to God. Okay? I'm going to just follow what God says. I want his path. And let me just say this, when it comes to his path, it means one more thing and we'll move on here. That means it's his will for their life.
Right.
God has a specific, look, you understand this if you have children. All of them are different. Some aren't as emotional as others. Some are more emotional than others. Some are quiet. Others, they don't even know what the word quiet means. Right? They all have different personalities. And do you know, and talents as well. And God has a specific place and plan for their life. And you know what happens sometimes as parents? We interfere. Come on now. Let's be very careful. I don't mean to be nitpicky, but I think all of our, when they graduate from high school, you ought to go to Bible college. You ought to go for a little bit longer, not just put in your time so you can go do what you want. But you know what happens? Parents don't want them to. Here's a child that says, you know, I want to go to Bible college and find God's will. No, I need you to be a doctor. Look, I've seen your child's grades. They're not going to be a doctor. They may be a patient. Well, I want them to be a lawyer. They might be a defendant, okay? I want them to be a judge. They might be judged, okay? You know why? Because I want them to be financially secure. God can't take care of them. God has a plan for their life. And you know what? Whatever that is, if you just say, I want you to find God's will. Now, try to lead them and direct them. That means they need to work and do other things, by the way. But what we do is we have our dreams for their lives. It just doesn't work. And we try to force something on them. I don't know how many of you remember a guy named Todd Marinovich. Anybody remember him? He's a quarterback with the team that gets all the tattoos, the Raiders. He played for USC. His dad raised him from when he was a child to be a quarterback. His life became a train wreck. I saw him talking one time. He's just like, it just wasn't fun to me because it was just like I had to do this thing. Okay. So we enforce that on our children. We ought to just be thankful for whatever they do that's God's will. Okay? And we ought to foster that. Say, look, we need to find out what God wants you to be and follow that path. Because the average college student, they're not working at all in the degree in which they get, the field of the degree in which they get. They just aren't. They're usually working a job they could have worked if they didn't get a degree. And so I know this, if someone follows God's will in their life, they're going to be okay.
Yep. Amen.
They're going to be okay.
Yep.
So, and then next, and there's also principles that need to be followed in the way that he should go. Well, what is the way he should go? The way he should go is God's word. And so everything we do ought to be determined by God's principles. What is God saying? God's saying, hey, this is the way it is. So let me ask you this. Who is teaching the principles to your children? You bring them to church, they'll learn the principles, right? You try to enforce them in your home and the things that you allow and that you don't allow. The fact of the matter is, and then you give them an iPad and they go into the room and no one knows what they're watching, and they're learning more principles from that. You let them watch garbage on TV, and here's a family, and here comes a guy with his boyfriend. By the way, it is all over children's shows now. It is. I think Peppa the Pig? That makes me hungry for bacon. I don't know. But they put it on. Why do they put it on shows for toddlers? They're going after them early. So be very careful. Don't just let them watch anything. If it has, you put something on for them and said, this seems wholesome, and they throw something, don't say, I wish they wouldn't do that. Turn it off. And say, time out, kids. We're never watching that again.
Yeah.
Be very careful. Say, I don't understand these things. I know. Be careful with the music they're listening to. And all the different things. And then next, it's progressive. Not progressive like you think. He says, and when he is old. The goal is to produce children that will follow it throughout their life. That's it. We're trying to, our goal, when they're in our house, until they're out of our house, our goal is to raise them up in such a way that when they get out of the house, that they are on a path to follow the Lord for the rest of their life.
Right.
That doesn't mean sometimes kids don't mess up. People in the Bible messed up. But if they mess up because we did not put them on the right path, We're gonna feel guilt.
Yeah.
We want to make sure we're there every step of the way. By the way, that's why you want to have a great relationship with your children. But we want to help them to get there. It's progressive.
Yes, sir.
Many years ago, a lady wrote to an advice columnist for the Chicago Daily News. She explained that she had a 17-year-old son who was rebellious and disrespectful to her, running around with the wrong crowd. And she told this columnist she was sure he was doing drugs and he was probably in trouble with the law. She asked the columnist what she should do. Here's what the columnist said. Shrink him down to 17 months old and start all over again.
Yeah.
You know what he was saying? Really, the process should have started when he was a baby.
Yeah.
Now, you do what you can to help them in that situation, but what he's saying is, if you really want success, the only success would be, can you start over? And so it's very important that we start early. And then the last thing is this, protections. And it says this, when he is old, he will not depart from it. You want them to understand the reasons why we believe these things. The reasons why we do the things we do. That will keep them from forsaking them when they are older. It puts them in the best position to say, you know what, these are Bible principles, and I've been raised this way, and I know that I need to follow them. It's best for my life, and I know that not following them is not best for my life. And so as parents, it is our responsibility to do what we can to raise our children for the Lord and raise them in the right way. Let's stand together this evening, if we may. We'll pray together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that all the things we do in life, including parenting, we don't have to just make it up by ourselves, Lord. We can follow your word and follow your ways. And I pray, Lord, that the goal of all of us in here, whether we have children or not, eventually most of us will, if we don't, that our goal would be to raise them up so that they love you. To raise them up so that they will follow you and serve you, and they will be mature adults and, more importantly, mature Christians. Help us now as we go our way till we meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.